Welcome back and good morning, Logan Sport, to this special presentation of Talk of the Town. We're talking with Tom Castaldi and Thelma Conrad.
I wanted to ask about William Polk's lost gravesite. Do you guys know much about this? This is one of the topics that, Tom, you had mentioned.
Well, yeah.
Maybe going along with bicentennial celebration.
Well, there's a Logansport connection with William Polk, and I just thought that'd be appropriate.
Is that the gravesite that... No, okay. Because Thelma talked about a gravesite that was out, I think,
that's
in the
General
woods by...
General Walter Wilson.
Okay.
General Walter Wilson is who you're thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So... Do you guys know much about the William Polk lost grave?
Well yes. William Polk.
Who was he?
William Polk was, as a youngster, his family was raided by the Indians. And his mother and he and his children, his sibling, were taken to Detroit. But somewhere in a trade with the British, they were sent to southern Indiana. And he became, as he grew up, he became involved with... community governance, and he eventually became a judge, and he was tapped for Governor Jennings, who was our first governor, when the Indiana Territory had finally reached 60,000 population for Indiana, for the state of what we call the state of Indiana, and they had to have delegates assigned, much like legislators, and William Polk was one of those original signers of the Indiana Constitution. He was pretty important in terms. He'd learned surveying and all of that sort of thing. One of the people that is buried here is General Tipton, John Tipton, and he was part of the militia that ordered had to be the bad guy to take the militia up to around Plymouth and herd the Pottawatomies, mm-hmm. because they were being removed in the 1830 Removal Act. That sounds redundant, but that's what they called it. So anyway, Tipton turned over the Pottawatomi to Polk, and Polk goes down in history as being very gentle and wonderful for these people, for all the crap they went through.
Right.
I mean, all the deaths and all the hardships. However, he sort of disappeared after he got them out to Kansas and then he returned, whatever. They were, when the bicentennial, 200 years later, we come to the bicentennial this year, and they're looking for the grave sites of all the people who signed the Indiana Constitution. So here's... they come to Polk, and nobody knows where he's buried. So Jim Corden of the Indiana Archives somehow or other found out he's buried at Fort Wayne. So I get the call, see? And what had happened was there's a park called McCullough Park in the near south side of Fort Wayne that was originally the old Broadway Cemetery. And there's only one grave marked there, and it's Governor Bigger. And he's got a nice big stone, 7th Governor of Indiana. And we found out that there was a little sheet of paper at the trustee's office that was the receipt of the cost of digging a grave to Polk's wife for something like $3 or something, which is able to prove that that's where he was. So we had a ceremony up there because that's what the bicentennial people were doing. They were going around to every one of these, I think it was 40 people that were delegates or something like that, and they went to every grave site to have a little ceremony. So Senator Pro Tem David Long was there to make a little talk and all that. And while we were there, we met some of the descendants of Polk. They said, well, we know where Polk's buried. He's over there by Governor Bigger, right over there. And they point to the ground, you know, and all that. So that didn't hold a whole lot of water. You know, so like so many, it's like people that say they're the great-great-grandson of somebody like Vigas. You've heard stories like this.
Right, yeah. Those guys always trying to pass themselves off as somebody important.
Yeah, I know.
Hate those people.
Don't hate them too much because we love some of them.
Hate's a strong word.
Lo and behold, somebody of the descendants after the ceremony came along and said, here's a sheet. Here's an 1864 newspaper with a line drawing on it, and it showed where Bigger was buried, and at 3 feet over here, perpendicular to that's where Polk is.
Yeah.
So I got involved with this, and Senator Long asked me, why don't we have a marker for this? He says, I think there should be a marker here. So one of the people involved on a little committee we put together was, she at one time was a state regent for the DAR, and bingo, next thing you know, we had a stone there. we're still looking to do a historical marker, much like the marker we have on Fifth Street for the Wabash Erie Canal that went through there. What they call state format marker, the big blue and gold letter.
Very interesting.
So we now know where he is. And
now, was he originally from Indiana? The beginning of the story, he's kind of taken.
I think it was from
Detroit.
Yeah. He was from someplace.
So he just ended up in Indiana and became really part of our Constitution.
Yeah. I think, I believe they came from someplace like Virginia or someplace. I don't know where it was. I lost memory of that. But they went to Kentucky first and then came into Indiana.
Okay.
And the longer we sit here, the more it comes to my mind. How much airtime do you have?
Right. Well, we'll definitely have you back, Tom, and we can discuss all the topics.
Okay. That's what happens, though, when you get on a – that's why, like earlier when we were talking about research, all it takes is a little bit of a, I want to know more about that, and next thing you know, you find out all kinds of stuff about it, and then you're looking at a two-episode show.
Right, which I'll probably
I remember up at Dykeman Park, there's a little stone that says, there's an Indian buried 20 rods
absolutely.
To the left.
And that's another thing.
On the golf course?
Yes.
Yeah, right on.
Well, not on like a fairway, but yeah. There's another case of someone who was interested because one of Logan Sport's citizens had an interest in that and felt the same way, like, you know, gosh, that should be marked a little better now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the thing. It's sort of like once you find these people and you find out what's going on and you find out that someone, you know, is buried there, then we want to honor them in some way and recognize them in some way. It doesn't matter if they were famous or not. It's just the idea.
And it's a maturity of a community. I mean, back in the day when I was a little kid, maybe said, guess what? There was somebody buried there, you know? And as years pile on, you say, oh my gosh, this is significant, you know?
Yes.
All right, let me segue a little bit here. Tom had mentioned in that last segment there that he mentioned a guy who had come together to name the town of Logansport. And so I'm wondering if you guys have any story on kind of how matter-of-factly the town of Logansport got its name and maybe what it was named before or kind of that period of time. Thelma?
We both know that one because we're older than you, David, and we've heard the
but
story.
We weren't here at the time.
We're here.
But we love
I wish you had pictures and iPhone videos of it.
I know.
If only they had that stuff, you guys would have it.
I know that's what you really, really want, but we can only work with what we have, and what we have are facts.
Yeah, paint us a picture, Thelma.
And the fact is, I can't tell you exactly where they met or how they met. We know that it's somewhere on that south bank of the Wabash. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, I've always thought it was where the eel comes in.
That's exactly how the old Powell and some of the old historians. But the name, Tipton wanted to name it that was unpronounceable.
Well, it's the French word for the eel.
Thank you.
And I have no French background. Maybe I do. I do my DNA.
Do we know the players that are coming together? Like Tipton is here. We're on the banks of the Wabash here in Logansport, right? Mm-hmm. And who's assembled here to kind of have this discussion?
Hugh McKean.
John Durrett. And there was a third person who might have been Vigas. we're not sure of the third person.
Do we have any occupations of these people?
Durrett was a trader. Because he ended up over at Lockport because they call it French Post Park, is what they call that place over there.
Yeah, because if you think about it, we're talking 1828-ish.
Yeah.
that's when we became a town.
Okay.
And so you do. You have Native Americans up and down. You have fur traders. You have merchants that are trading goods like coffee and blankets and ammunition and that sort of a thing. And you have General Tipton, who is here in an official capacity to...
He moved the Indian Agency here in 1827, was it?
So you're just kind of picturing all these pioneers wearing, some of them, people in coonskin caps and people in the nicer attire, depending on your...
How many beaver pelts you sold last week?
Socioeconomic status.
Well, I don't know. You could have a beaver top hat in the bunch. But at any rate, so there's your little motley crew. And then it's a matter of, like Tom said, General Tipton wanted to use this French word. And then?
And then they decided they would choose a name because somebody else, Durrett, wanted to name it for who we normally call Captain Logan or Logan, whose name was really Lamba Simba or some such version of that.
Okay.
He was a Shawnee, if I remember. And I think he was related to Tecumseh as a nephew. Yeah, and he was a friend of the Americans, and he was he became famous, and probably the reason they wanted to give a town his name because in the siege of Fort Wayne back in 1812-ish, he is the one that took the women and children to Piqua to keep them out of what would look like a terrible tragedy because the British had gotten all the natives roused up and they were going to take over the fort. They never did because Harrison come up and scared them away. But he was finally, he lost his life still in the American cause on the Maumee River somewhere along the way when there was the Bad Winnemac. There was two Winnemacs.
Chief Winnemac, yes.
But there was two Winnemacs and one of them was the good one and one was the bad.
Okay, so there's a good cop, bad cop, Winnemac.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, there was this. They had an altercation, which involved some shooting, and Logan was got his American name, Lamba Simba. His American name because General Logan had adopted him down on the Ohio River somewhere, and that's why he assumed the general's name, Logan.
Okay.
And he got shot in the stomach and suffered with it for 3 days before he died. So
keep in mind, let me interrupt just one second. Because here's the thing I find with younger people. They don't understand that John Logan, Captain Logan, did not live in Logansport. He never even visited here. He was killed before the town was named.
Yeah, this was strictly an adopted a thing to honor. Native American. Yeah.
This the naming, using the desire to use his name, Logan, in the naming of our town was simply a matter of honoring him. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, through his Native American kind of adopted.
He was a friend of the Americans.
Correct.
I mean, because of all the things he did, there was other stories I'm sure that we could get into. So anyway, somebody wanted, and I think it was Durrett that wanted Logan. And then, we had this river out here. And I bet you if we play up that name, we could make this a real river port. Now, the fact that... I think there was a number, was there five steamboats made it up this far? But one of them went to the other side of Peru. However, they had a shooting contest. And I believe Durrett is the one who won the contest and therefore got the name named his wish, which was Logan's Port.
Logan's Port.
I love it. I love it because I've heard, short stories and very abridged versions, which is like a sentence long of why we're Logansport. But it's good that now we have on record more of a painting of a picture of why.
They were correct in their assumption that this was the American Indian loved this place because they liked where rivers come together. But then when you think, I've always said that the reason Logansport is so popular, it comes up in history all the time. And if you were on the Allen County side, like I have been, reading the history, everybody was either everything was between Allen County and Cass County. I mean, all the history is through there. And I think it has to do with transportation, and it has to do with the canal coming east and west, and the Michigan Road going north and south, right through Logansport. Transportation.
Yeah.
And today, what do we have? We got Highway 35 coming from the south, going up to Chicago, and the Heartland Corridor. And I have great hope. And vision for this community because of the transportation opportunities that are here.
Well, I think that is probably all the time we have for today. But I would like to thank both of my guests for being here. Tom Castaldi.
Very good.
Correct?
That's correct.
And it's David Packard, right? He's a county historian. He obviously knows his stuff. And another lady that knows her stuff, Thelma Conrad, Executive Director of the Cass County Historical Society. Thank you both for coming in and talking to us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
I hope we can.
Thank you.
And we hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. And now I hope you enjoy this presentation of the Chamber Today.